I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got an interesting show in store for you this evening. It'll be jam-packed with information, as usual. In fact, I'm sure that most of our listeners would need a pen and pencil handy, because there's going to be lots of stuff that you might want to research later. And we're going to be talking about the Merkaba. We'll be talking about flashing universe. We'll be talking about current conditions on the planet. And before we get to all that, I like to kick off the program in the usual manner by having a little bit of Japa Yoga or Hari Om mantra. And that'll be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari, Hari, Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari, Hari, Hari Om.
Hari
Hari Hari Hari Om.
Thank you.
Japa Yoga, which was one of the six branches of yoga that formed the integral yoga program that Sri Swami taught, and he was the founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes. I'd like to take this opportunity to give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're a new listener to ET yoga, you should also know that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical as much as humanly possible. And actually, interesting, when I was listening to the Hari Om chanting and what is known as Japa Yoga, J-A-P-A, kind of reminds me that ET yoga is what I call the a new yoga, the yoga of belief. And the reason that I say that is because after learning from Sri Swami Satchidananda and Sri Ramana Maharshi and Paramahansa Yogananda, Ram Dass, and a few others, there's really in that background of my yogic training and really the concepts about how powerful belief is and how self-empowering some of the new information that's been channeled from ETs, those subjects really never came up in those teachings. They did know about that information, but it was really not an integral or a major focus in any of those particular paths. And thus, I've kind of made a combination of channeled information from Arcturian, Pleiadian, Andromedan, Syrian, and some Esasani sources to basically make a marriage between ET information and yoga, which I call the yoga of belief. And it's also based on scientific principles that the universe functions much like a giant virtual reality hologram that is fractal, and thus the one is all and the all is one. And it's an energy based on consciousness, and the language of interpretation, like any computer program has a language of interpretation, the language of interpretation of the universe is belief. In essence, what you believe is. And that's also exemplified in the placebo effect. But the placebo effect is not only true in medicine, but it's true in every area of our lives, what you believe is. And you must be a frequency match for what you experience. You can't experience anything in third dimension unless you're a frequency match for it. And thus, I found these new concepts, or what I call a new way of thinking, centering around belief, is, to my way of thinking, quite fascinating. I'd also like to take this opportunity to thank those ET listeners who do take the time to email me, and especially those people who share successes that they have with information they've heard on the program, either with respect to it being a concept or an idea or a specific technique. And I do hope to be sharing a couple of techniques as the program goes on. One will be the Merkaba technique, and one will be the Who Am I technique. And I much appreciate hearing from our ET listeners, ET yoga listeners. And you can email me at paperfungo@yahoo.ca. That's paperfungo, PAPERFUNGO, paperfungo@yahoo.ca. And if you're a longtime listener of ET yoga, and I do get lots of emails from people that have listened for years and years but have never taken the time to email me. I appreciate hearing from you. I'm also available to answer questions concerning any topics that are covered on the program. And I'm also open to suggestions about program content. And if you like the ET Yoga Show, which to my way of thinking is condenses an hour program with lots of information, if you like the ET Yoga program, I think you'll like my latest book too, which is ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond, The True Nature of Reality. And you can get that at my website, etyoga.com. And it's $9.95. It's like 300 pages, and it's jam-packed with information. So, and I much appreciate your support. Now, when I was looking for a theme for tonight's program, kind of, the idea about the Merkaba was what came to my mind, and usually how I do the ET Yoga program is that I follow my excitement around a particular topic and take it to its logical conclusion. And that's basically how the programs are put together. And when I started thinking about the Merkaba, I found an interesting information from Bob Frisell, and that's F-R-I-S-S-E-L-L. And I really liked his concept that he states that there is a star tetrahedral field around everything, not just our bodies. And the word mer denotes counter-rotating fields of light, ka means spirit, and ba, the body or reality. So the Merkaba, then, is a counter-rotating field of light that encompasses both spirit and body, and it's a vehicle, a time-space vehicle. And it's far more than just that. In fact, there isn't anything that it isn't. It is the image through which all things were created, and that image is around your body in a geometrical set of patterns. And that image begins at the base of your spine, as small as the original 8 cells from which our physical bodies first formed, and it moves out from there, first forming in a star tetrahedron, then a cube out at your hands, then a sphere, then back-to-back pyramids, which are known as an octahedron, then as an icosahedron, and then as a dodecahedron. And the field extends out a full 50 to 60 feet in diameter and looks like a flying saucer. At least that's when it's activated. And following up here in a few minutes, I'll be giving some instruction about how to do a Merkaba technique. And basically, I don't think anybody would be capable of following all the directions and just hearing about it the first time. So it's one of those things that our listeners would need to go probably to the archives of this program, which will come out in a couple of days. And it's real easy to find it. All you need to do is go to my website at etyoga.com, go on the main page, and you can find it by doing that, and there's a space at the bottom where you can locate. Or you can just push one button, and that's on the main page. There's a sign there that says Radio Archives. Just push that one button, and it'll take you to the last 10 shows or so. So that's a way that you can listen to the show at your leisure and stop your a pause button, and you can make notes on the specific instructions concerning the Merkaba technique. And it would also be a very good idea to look up the terms icosahedron and dodecahedron, because you'll need to visualize those in the technique. So to be able to do the technique properly, you would need to have some knowledge of that. And also, according to Dronvallo Melchizedek, this disc, which is your activated Merkaba, can be perceived by scientific means. In other words, the military can even see people who activate their Merkabas and watch as they move around the Earth. And he's also certain that the government used the Merkaba in the 1943 Philadelphia experiment, and in the 1983 Montauk experiments. And according to Dronvallo, the Merkaba is alive. It is a living field not a purely mechanical field of energy. And because it is a living field, it responds to human thought and feeling, which is the way to connect to the field. So the, quote, computer that guides the Merkaba is the human mind and heart. And when I was thinking about the Merkaba and the pyramidal shape, also comes to mind the fact that all pyramids or all pyramidal shapes have a consciousness. And in the article entitled Ancient Pyramid Technology for the Golden Age, and that's by Brandon Murphy, that's M-U-R-P-H-Y, he talks about the torsion. And he says, is the torsion, is that a fifth fourth synonymous with consciousness? And he states that torsion waves, not unlike DNA, flow in sacred geometric phi spirals. And torsion fields are generated by spin or angular momentum. So any object or particle that spins produces torsion waves and possesses its own unique torsion field. And what kind of grabbed my attention there was the Pleiadian spinning and pillar of light techniques. And if you're not familiar with those, I'm not going to go into detail on that tonight because of time. But basically, in the Pleiadian spinning, you basically have your hand, palms together at chest level, your feet about a foot apart. You start rotating in a clockwise direction, keeping your focus on your thumbs to keep you from kind of falling away. And once you catch on to it, it's quite simple and quite effective. And the Palladians, way back in the 1970s in Bringers of the Dawn, suggested to do 33 spins in one session. And if you did 99 in a day, they say, well, we'll see how long you stay on the planet, or at least in this dimension. It also is very beneficial in helping you to access information. And interesting that a pyramid has positive effects on anything inside it. And it also has huge healing possibilities. And also, it reminded me of research in the U.S. that was done by Dr. Glenn Rein, that's R-E-I-N, and later by the HeartMath Institute investigating remote healing, because essentially the researchers have established that the energy of consciousness, which operates within the intent to heal, always influences the distant recipients' biochemical processes in such a way as to evoke a general systemic health-enhancing effect, even if highly specific intentionality or visualization is employed. So anytime you're sending energy to someone with the intent of healing, they now know that it has a provable effect on their biological processes. I think that's a kind of an important thing for people to understand. And in relation to this, this find in Bosnia, this Bosnian pyramid complex, is quite fascinating. And the largest pyramid in the Bosnian complex, dubbed the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, is currently recognized as the tallest pyramid on the planet. And not only that, but physicists have reportedly discovered there's a beam of energy about 4.5 meters in radius shooting out the top of this pyramid at a frequency of about 28,000 hertz. And Dr. Osmanagic, and that's O-S-M-A-N-A-G-I-C-H, he reports that the beam is continuous and its strength grows as it moves up and away from the pyramid. And this phenomenon contradicts the known laws of physics and technology. This is the first proof of non-Hertzian technology on the planet, and this energy machine is still working. So here we are witnessing torsion physics in action as the pyramid harnesses the almost impossible-to-detect phi spirals radiating from the Earth and focuses them at its tip with enough intensity that it generates a detectable high-frequency column of EM energy. And since this energy is fundamentally intelligent, harnessing it not only enhances one's physical health, but one's spiritual consciousness also. Now, listeners might be interested to note that the human body is constructed according to the golden section, right down to our DNA spirals itself. We are literally torsion antennas, right down to our microbiological levels. So thus, we have a new vision of the possibility to heal ourselves and our planet by utilizing truly ancient non-electronic pyramid technology, which harnesses the Earth's torsion waves, which is linked with consciousness itself. And if you do any research on this Bosnian pyramid, the people that are doing the research, they're not claiming or guaranteeing any health results, but it seems everybody who visits this Bosnian pyramid, they're getting healed. I'll just give you an example of one person that's a Croatian woman. She had a type of lung cancer. She's taking chemotherapy. No matter what's being done, seems to be getting worse. She apparently went to the Bosnian pyramid, visited it for about, I guess, once a day for about 5 days, and went back to her doctor, and her cancer is completely gone. Just to give you an idea of some of the amazing stories that are coming from Bosnia. And the researchers there, they're not guaranteeing that everybody's going to be cured or anything. They just say, they're just reporting what other people say after they've been there and they're doing things. So I'm going to pass that on to our listening audience, and you can do your own research there. But to me, it's a fascinating story about the possibilities that can arise from this pyramidal energy. And with respect to the Merkaba, I personally really like that idea that there's a Merkaba field around everything. And in fact, my concept, whether it's accurate or not, I don't know, but I did get in a meditation once the concept of the Merkaba field around the Earth. So there's a giant Merkaba field, which is like two counter-rotating tetrahedrons that the Earth would fit inside. And the idea here being, I'll explain a total Merkaba technique here in just a minute, but the idea being when these counter-rotating tetrahedrons increase in speed at the proper ratio and the proper speed increasing towards the speed of light, you ask that the Merkaba field rotate at, say, 10% the speed of light, 20, 30, 40, up to 90, up to 99% the speed of light. And when you then ask for it to rotate faster than the speed of light, once it's activated, what's inside the Merkaba then transcends to the next dimension. That's my idea of what the Earth's going to do when we get the two Earths and when Earth ascends into the next dimensions. And I think right now we're in the process, and I think that what's happening on the planet is that the Earth Merkaba field is gradually increasing and moving toward that process. Now, whether it's exactly in that manner or not, that's the visual picture that I got, as well as the Earth to Earth splitting. Now, in Dolores Cannon's concept, her concept of the two Earth splitting is like a cellular division when one cell multiplies into two. Take your pick. To my way of thinking, I can go with either model, and it comes out to be the same thing. Or you can think of it like if you've ever done any astral traveling, when you leave your body and you you are doing astral traveling. Basically, where you think of that, you can go wherever you think. But when you're separate from your physical body, and that's similarly another concept to think of the Earth ascension process. Now, with respect to the Merkaba meditation, if you go online, you're going to find lots of different ways to do Merkaba meditation. There's a guy named Dan Winter, and he and I totally agree on the most effective way that worked for him and the way that worked for me the best. So I'm going to share that now with our listening audience. And as I said, it's quite technical. I don't expect anybody, first time you hear it, to remember it all. So that's why I suggested that maybe after the show, not really right after the show, because it takes a while before the archives get posted, but in the next couple of days, you can go to etyoga.com, and you can find tonight's show in the archives. There's no charge or anything. There's no strings attached. You just go and download the program. So in conversations with Dan Winter, it was discussed that in the Merkaba meditation, the head needed to tilt back 32 degrees, entering the phi golden mean ratio before it could actually transcend the speed of light. And the 32-degree tilt is also the tilt angle of the chin of the Sphinx and corresponds to the pump mechanism of the Kundalini. So the idea here is to first sit with your spine straight as you want your central channel unobstructed, and you come to the point in your meditation in which you visualize your star tetrahedron around you. Now, to activate your star tetrahedron, you want to try to be in a state of unconditional love. That's the really like the turning the ignition on your Merkaba field, and you already are in a stable Merkaba field, so it's already there. It's just that since Atlantean days, we forgot how to use it. So the idea here is when you come to the point in your meditation in which you visualize your star tetrahedrons around you, you say equal speed. You exhale or blow. You next inhale and visualize a cube around the tetrahedron and say 34-21. Exhale or blow. You inhale and see a dodecahedron around the cube and say 9/10 the speed of light. Exhale or blow. Inhale and tilt your head back about 32 degrees and imagine your cube tilting back into the dodecahedron and say faster than the speed of light. Exhale or blow. Notice as the head tilts back that a type of pump is formed from the tilt of the head, the straight spine, and the angle of the sacrum. Relax with the head resting back, and notice if your spine becomes hot or tingling as your Kundalini activates. Also, be aware of the terrific spin of your Merkaba. You may find yourself almost locked into this position as it feels cleansing, open, and awe-inspiring. When you're ready, straighten your head back to its normal position. And basically, the way I kind of start off this particular meditation is I'm going to try to activate as much positive emotion in the area of unconditional love as possible. You're visualizing yourself inside a star, a double, like tetrahedral shape, with one apex down, one apex up. And it probably is to your advantage to go online and look up Merkaba or star tetrahedrons, and you can get an actual visualization of the two counter-rotating pyramidal shapes. One rotates one way and one the other. One is kind of like masculine, one is feminine. And the 34-21 indicates the speed or the ratio at which both of them turn, so they don't turn exactly at the same speed. It's a 34-21 ratio. And then after I'm visualizing myself inside the Merkaba vehicle and asking for it to activate, that's when I start saying my counter-rotating tetrahedrons are now counter-rotating in a balanced way at, say, 10% the speed of light. Now my counter-rotating tetrahedrons are counter-rotating in a balanced way at 20% of the speed of light, and then up to 90%, and then 99%, and then the last thing you'll say before you ask for the counter-rotating tetrahedrons to rotate in a balanced way faster than the speed of light. That's the key that makes the Merkaba transcend into the next dimension. So, like I said, if you go online, you can find lots of different ways to utilize the Merkaba. And another idea that actually Bashar has, he says, well, you can explore with this idea if you wish. It's up to you. Or you can use this idea by imagining it simply in your imagination, like the two counter-rotating tetrahedrons, and play with that shape and see what that shape does when you get it in your mind's eye, in terms of opening you up to other levels of communication as well, because you can use it that way too. And if you also do it in your mind and you see that shape in your mind, if you can, also learn to view it three-dimensionally and start turning it, rotating it in your mind and see it in different angles. That'll absolutely heighten and increase your ability to tap into other dimensional frequencies as well. So, interesting comment from Bashar. Bashar being a Sasani, and his website is at www.bashar.org. I'd like to also share with people a concept that I really think is the most positive thing that people can be doing right now, and it's related to Solara on Ra. And if you look up on YouTube and you'd look under Higher Dimensional Reset for the Planet Earth, and I really like the idea there. It's very simple. It's called it's a technique for visualizing a positive Earth scenario, which would be like the new Earth. And the technique's very simple. It's you state, my one heart is activated now. I connect with my light tribe now through the crystalline heart grid. And together we choose a new reality for our planet. And our new Earth is based on love, kindness, and cooperation. And I really like the idea here that you're creating the space for that to happen. And as I said, in my opinion, the Earth is already in the process of creating that dimensional space. And also, information from Bashar, he likes to use the train analogy. That he uses the analogy of a train station, and he says that the train tracks are the timelines, and they begin to separate more and more from each other around 2012, such that around 2025 to 2033, they become distinct, separate realities, where it eventually, around 2050, becomes impossible to jump from one to another. And the idea here is that there are two general types of experiential realities or possible futures that could be labeled energy polarity-wise as positive and negative, and energy density-wise as ascension, which would be free from fear, and transhumanist, which is increased control and darkness, also reflecting the merging of man and machine, or the next level of enslavement by the control system. So I'm totally on board with that comment of Bashar's, that there is definitely two streams or ideas here, and one's toward the spirituality and ascension, and the other one is going toward this transhumanist agenda. And a couple of shows ago, I talked about my concerns about the addictions to technology, and also communicated the Pleiadian perspective that you should try to limit technology as little as humanly possible. I might also add that even though it would seem that AI has already taken over, doesn't mean it needs to be a negative, because there's no such thing as an event that is has built-in meaning, and that by utilizing a positive spin, you can create a positive experience from any outer condition. I really liked another one of Bashar's comments, that a woman asked Bashar, is the Earth too far gone to be saved? And he said, well, if you believe the Earth is too far gone to be saved, it is. If you believe the Earth needs saving, it does. And if you believe the Earth doesn't need saving, it doesn't. So there are millions of possible Earths, and you choose the one that resonates with your beliefs. So similarly, I like his concept that you don't have a belief you don't prefer. So if you have negative beliefs, you need to analyze the situation and find out why you have them. interesting concepts. And I think, and I'm on board with those for sure. I'd like to also mention, in terms of other positive techniques, is I really recommend Andara crystals. And as Teal Swan has said, when you place an Andara crystal like under your pillow at night, it's it's almost like two people meditating. It's going to balance out somewhere in the middle. So you're going to entrain with the energy of the crystal, and it can raise your frequency. And very powerful. These were ancient healing crystals that were around for many centuries and have been used in the healing temples of Atlantis and Lemuria. And they're being heliocentric, meaning they absorb and reflect light. The Andara crystal tends to draw the individual's consciousness into the center of the energy spiral within when they gaze into the crystal, and thus bringing that person's consciousness into more intimate contact with the Andara consciousness. And Andara crystals come from monatomic fields. And if you don't know about that word monatomics, I'm not going to get into it tonight, but I suggest you check it out, because to me it's kind of a solution to a lot of issues. I'd like to now get into the concept I wanted to share about a flashing universe, because it's one that I don't hear from practically any other sources of information. That I don't hear people talking about Earth flashing in and out of existence, except from one other source, the Pleiadians, who mentioned that the space in between the flashing in and out of the universe is where thought exists. I think that's quite a fascinating subject. And in an article from Four Winds and a channeling from Metatron, I really like some of his information. I think you will too. That lifetimes, in your terms, are not linear. Rather, they coexist in the quantum field of the eternal now moment. The universe as you know it flashes in and out in a pulsing sequence of light energy forms that consist of what we call consciousness units. The process of God source seeding the matrix of awareness through pixels of minute particles involves what we term flashing units of consciousness. Electromagnetic units that can and do pulse in and out of all realities in a strobe light fashion. These flashing energy units are geometric in nature and occur with a relatively short lifespan. Your scientists postulate that black holes are imploded supernovas of extremely compressed energy whose gravitational field is so immense that it pulls into itself all matter and light, yet they do not as yet recognize that at the back of the black hole is, in a manner of speaking, is a white hole that generates new vitalized energy into the universe. As such, there is a constant surge of new energy into your universe, which comes through a nearby infinitesimal number of white holes. And the sequencing of energy in and energy out creates a flashing effect within the consciousness and time sequence of your reality. Your oversoul is calibrated within the flashing sequence. So imagine then that the root unit of your beingness, in your terms, your oversoul, is at the center of a wheel. And this hub is a flashing receiver of conscious light and emits an infinite number of pulsing light threads at fiber optic spokes, and at the end of each spoke is one of your soul aspects or incarnational sojourns or one of your reincarnations. And the reincarnation aspect, represented by the spokes of the wheel, receive units of conscious light, termed conscious units, that are flashed outwardly at an amazingly rapid stroke. And these seem to be sequenced and linear, but in fact, there is a great timeless void in between each pulse. Now, as each spoke or lifetime aspect becomes more resonant, more capable of holding the energy of energy pulses, it consciously expands back into the center. And that's a process I call consciousness completion. and it becomes aware of the unity of the multi-aspects of the hub and all the other spokes, and in so doing, evolves back into the center, becoming part of the center. Therefore, achieving the ability to be fully conscious in the now, one can literally go backwards and forwards in time and can be in all places and in all times simultaneously. Simply stated, you co-create your own reality. Your existence on the planet of duality upon the three-dimensional planes of Earth are somewhat limited in perceptual terms, somewhat filtered by design. An analogy of the human brain functions can be seen as akin to a dual radio receptor. One aspect, the ego personality, can be considered to be in the band of AM radio, and the subconscious or God mind aspect as termed into the broader FM width. The personality ego perceives and focuses into reality a single event from all the other probable ones. Until the ego experiences the event, it is only one of the probable ones. It becomes actual in your reality only when the physical aspect of self experiences it. The greater self can and does experience reality in an entirely different fashion than the ego personality brain does, and from that perspective, from that integral higher stance, is fully aware of all other dimensions, probabilities, and potential events, time-sequenced realities, than the one experienced by the frontal brain aspect of the personality, physical base, or ego self. Both perceptions are equally valid, but one is tuned only to one station and with reason. That reason is what is termed focal life lesson, and indeed is part of your growth process, but one in which you are destined to grow beyond. In truth, you are like Dorothy in the metaphoric tale of the Wizard of Oz. Learning to access the infinity of the higher mind comes only after learning to willfully create with the ego mind. Indeed, when you do, and you already have in a real sense, you will realize that you had the power all the time. You simply needed to click the shoes together, as did Dorothy of Kansas in her path of exploring the wonders of Oz along the yellow brick road. And using only the limited physical senses, you can never perceive these other systems, yet probable events and parallel areas are substantive bona fide experiences, even if you do not perceive them to be within your physical antenna. In these other spheres of reality, each of you has other selves, not as identical selves, but through different aspects, parts of your oversoul, developing abilities in different ways than you are in physical reality, and emphatically contributing to your soul expansion and consciousness. And Metatron also states that we will tell you that aspects of the golden age of Atlantis is, in fact, from your future. In your terms, a future in this frame that has been seemingly pulled into your past. I'm going to repeat that one because I think that one is the most fascinating part of this. We will tell you that aspects of the golden age of Atlantis is, in fact, from your future. In your terms, a future that in this frame has been seemingly pulled into your past. That's one I think that we could all spend a little time meditating on. When you learn to tap into the flashing pulse of creation units, you'll be able to travel consciously within and without the width and breadth of space and time and all its parallels. And he also states that there are tools available to you to assist in this process. Indeed, crystalline forms are more capable of holding the pure sequence and energy of consciousness units, and indeed help in the merging of the front mind into the wider realm and frequential sequencing of the God-mind harmonic. So he's also kind of, you know, suggesting the use of crystals as well. And to my way of thinking, too, that reality is flashing in and out of existence every time our reality oscillates between form and pure energy. This is a the time when we can reprogram the body. And therefore, each time we oscillate into formlessness, we have complete and total control and responsibility over what we choose within our attention to manifest out of the field in the next moment. And our powers and ability to do so relies entirely on what we believe and how we're feeling. And if our bodies are a projection of consciousness, then our consciousness would create a blueprint which our atoms and molecules align with to create our bodies. So basically, we know we've been told that consciousness is in the brain, but in point of fact, consciousness is in the field outside the body, and actually that consciousness doesn't flash in and out, but our bodies do, which means basically our bodies are a reflection of our consciousness. And I think that's really important stuff. And the first step to consider is the possibility that we're not only energy, but that there is an infinite energy all around us in which we can consciously tap into to promote healing in our body and mind and to become more happy, healthy, vibrant, and creative. And the idea here being that as soon as you start to connect to the infinite energy of creation and your own true nature as formless energy, then you start to become aware of those energies in your body, which returns the projection of your body to its natural state. And the projection of your body can only be disrupted by a disturbance in your energy field, your consciousness, caused by unbalanced thoughts and emotions. And that's also Pleiadian information. Like, all dis-ease is connected with this disturbance caused by unbalanced thoughts and emotions and limiting beliefs. Our luminous energy field is naturally vibrant, and our energy naturally flows unhindered. And a powerful stream of consciousness, but the lower levels of consciousness, which we have been conditioned to live in as part of our social indoctrination, disrupts this flow, which, if left unhindered, would express its perfection everywhere. And I might add that even information from the Secret Space Program indicates that the human body is capable of healing 99.9% of all disease issues, especially if it receives the proper nutrients and there's proper detoxing and other requirements such as pure water, oxygenation of the body, like through yoga pranayams, elimination of stress, exercise, detoxing, and getting off meats. So those are the basic foundations of health as outlined by Bashar. And I might add that in terms of reality creation, if you haven't been to Project Camelot, and that's Merlin and Marilyn the Magician, I highly recommend that website. And from Merlin, interesting help with respect to reality creation, that when you first focus on a desire for something you do not have, you may resonate with the perspective of not having it. And you can create an energy shift to bring that which you desire into your experience by waving the wand of your limitless imagination. When you imagine that you are already experiencing what you desire, you are experiencing fulfillment. You are drinking from the Holy Grail. To master this craft of magic, practice continuously. When you master the craft of fulfilling your dreams first from within, those dreams first become physical reality. See yourself receiving what you want by imagining that it is already there. If you find yourself imagining just to get something, what you are saying is that you don't have that something. When you're telling the universe to give you more of what you do not have. So you present yourself with a gift when you can sense the presence of a desire fulfilled. Pretending is not a popular pastime, but here I see a new trend. As you tend to pretending, you become as children entering the kingdom of heaven. And that's from Merlin and Merlin the Magician. And that's Merlin's message. And I really, if you look at all the different aspects of reality creation, I think that's one of the keys is to create yourself as a frequency match for what you want to draw to yourself, because it is creating that visualization that you've already received. So you can give thanks and gratitude and appreciation for already having received what it is you want to create. And if you can create that strong enough in your mind, visually, it must then reflect in your outer circumstance. And to me, that's also one of the secrets of interstellar space travel, that no two frequencies can exist in this different places at the same time. So when you visualize or create yourself to be a frequency match to a place you want to go to, once you create that frequency match, that's where your consciousness will take you. Similarly, doing astral traveling, what you think about is where you go, because what you think about is creating a frequency match for where you want to go. Like, your beliefs are a frequency. Everything's a frequency. So when you have a belief, it's a frequency, and it's going to attract, that belief will attract that experience in your outer reality. I might add, too, another kind of an interesting tip is about manifesting, is that resistance is holding any thought which vibrates at a different frequency than your desire. So anytime you're thinking a negative thought, that is resistance. Anytime you're holding yourself vibrationally out of alignment with the very thing you seek, as if it isn't already, you are in resistance. You must be in the vibration of the answer to receive the answer. What this means is, if you ask a question, you are still vibrating with the question, which looks a lot like a vibration of confusion, you aren't a match for the answer. And I'm going to repeat that again as well, because I think it bears it. Resistance is holding any thought which vibrates at a different frequency than your desire. Anytime you're making a negative thought, that is resistance. Anytime you're holding yourself vibrationally out of alignment with the very thing you seek, as if it isn't already, you are in resistance. You must be in the vibration of the answer to receive the answer. And what this means is, if you ask a question and you're still vibrating with the question, which looks a lot like a vibration of confusion, you aren't a match for the answer. And I think even more importantly, to realize that the pineal, and by the way, the pineal gland gets calcified by drinking fluoridated water, the pineal is the interface between the higher dimensions and the physical realm, or the gateway between the ego personality, brain, and the divine mind. Whatever knowledge you allow yourself to believe can only become a reality by the pineal first opening the gate to the divine. It does this by interpreting the frequency of thought into a thermal, biochemical, electrical current throughout your body and opening to mind. So in simplified terms, there's like a gatekeeper at your pineal. And if what you believe is going to be allowed to manifest, it gets the okay there. And basically, there's kind of like a watchman. So if your belief is not really believable, and I think you can use one of Bashar's techniques for that, he calls it threshold of believability. I mean, let's say you have a goal of becoming flying an airplane. You're going to fly an airplane today? And the person answers, no. Okay, fine. Do you think you'll be able to fly that airplane in 5 years? Yes. Okay. So how about in 4 years? And then you just keep working it down to the point where hesitation usually means no. If you give a quick yes, probably that's what you believe. So you're trying to find out what you believe in terms of time. Do you think you're going to have this thing happen in two years or 6 months? And if you can say that you think it could happen any time, then that's how close you are. It could be happening any time. It's not way out there somewhere. It's not years down the road. You can check yourself out in terms of believability just by using that technique. So I'd like now to wish my audience my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And By closing, you could place all your attention in your third eye and ask yourself, who am I? And then state the following. I am not my body. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all things.